الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر إنك ميت وإنهم ميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون صدق الله العظيم.
Honorable ulama, respected elders and brothers in Islam, this month of Rabi'ul Awwal is synonymous to the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But coupled with that, it is also synonymous to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, if any person were to be asked, be it a Hindu, a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, or even an atheist were to be asked, then what is the greatest certainty in life? Then everyone will come to one conclusion, that the greatest certainty in life is death. That's the only thing in which there is no difference of opinion. Even if a person denies the existence of Allah, he's an atheist, but he'll also will admit the greatest certainty in life is death. Be it a rich person, a poor person, be it a person of any language, of any ethnic background, everyone will agree that every person will have to leave this world. So much so that the greatest of all creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that being for whom the seven heavens and seven earth were created, that being who had the title of Habibullah, the beloved of Allah, even he had to leave this temporary world. Before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were certain signs which bespoke of his death, his leave-taking. Amongst the signs which gestured towards his demise, his mouth, is that in the Ramadan before he had passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed 20 days of i'tikaf as in comparison to the 10 days performed every year. In a similar way as well, in the Ramadan, the 10th year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made revision of the Quran with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam twice during the month of Ramadan. As in comparison to the previous years, once they would make door, once they would revise whatever Quran was revealed at that time. In a similar way as well, in Hajjatul Wida, in Dhul-Hijjah, the 10th year after Hijrah, about 3 months before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away, in the khutbah of Hajj, amongst the advices which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned was, إِنِّي لَا أَدْرِي لَعَلِّي لَا أَلْقَاكُمْ بَعْدَ آمِي هَذَا بِهَذَا الْمَوْقِفِ أَبَدًا. That, I don't know, O my Sahaba, if I'll ever meet you all again after this year at this place again. Meaning in Makkah Mukarramah, I don't know whether we'll ever have the opportunity to ever meet here again. In a similar way as well, amongst the other signs of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was one of the last surahs of the Quran to be revealed. Surah Idha Ja'a Nasrullahi Wal Fath. In this surah, Allah Ta'ala explains and Allah Ta'ala gives glad tidings of the conquest of Islam spreading, of Muslims gaining the help of Allah, and Muslims gaining victory, and people entering into the fold of Islam in large numbers in groups. So when Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when they heard this surah being revealed, they were ecstatic, they celebrated because of the glad tidings mentioned in the surah. But certain Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, like Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, tarjumanul Qur'an, When he heard this surah being revealed, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, he began to cry. He cried. Why? Because he understood that this surah indicated towards the completion of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a result of which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will soon leave this dunya. Therefore, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, he cried when إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ was revealed. Anyway, it was the month of Safar, the 29th of Safar, 11th year after Hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had attended a janazah in Jannatul Baqi. On the way back from the janazah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to develop a fever. And the temperature of his fever grew so high that the heat of it could be felt above the turban of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He became so sick. And this was the beginning of the final illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had suffered for 13 to 14 days. The final illness had lasted. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite this severe illness, he continued to lead the salah. He continued making imamat for the next 11 days. Anyway, in the last week before the demise of the Prophet of Allah, he kept on asking this question, where am I to stay tomorrow? Where am I to stay tomorrow? The wise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood what was his intention, what was his desire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired to remain and live in the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and his beloved wife. So the other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had forfeited their right and they gave permission to the Prophet of Allah to stay in the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Anyway, Wednesday, 5 days before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away, his fever was very severe. So he called for a basin to be brought in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, and water from 7 different wells of Medina Munawwara were in 7 different water skins. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat in that basin, and thereafter he told his family to pour this water over him, as a result of which the fever which he was suffering with, this fever had subsided slightly. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, who his family were there, that take me to the masjid. Certain narrations mentioned it was Abdullah bin Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. They helped Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he went into the masjid. It was a Wednesday morning. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave many advices. Amongst the advices which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, he sat on the minbar and he called for the Sahaba to be gathered. They entered the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدًا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا قَبْرِي وَثَنَ يُعْبَدْ. That O my Sahaba, may the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians, because they made the graves of their prophets places of worship. So, O my Sahaba, don't make my grave a place of worship. O my Sahaba, do not make my grave a place of worship. In a similar way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exalted the Sahaba that if I cause any harm to anyone whatsoever, then there's my back. Let them come and take revenge from me now. Certain Sahaba stood up and said, Oh Rasulullah, you owe me 3 dirhams. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately said that pay it to this person. And again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the second time, even third time, he made the announcement, if I usurp the rights of anyone in any way, let him come forward and take revenge today. Anyway, thereafter the Zuhr Salah was performed. After the Zuhr Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once again, he ascended the minbar and he gave more advices. Amongst the advices which he gave was that, O my Sahaba, that those Jamaats that used to come to Medina Munawwara during my lifetime, after my demise, those Jamaats should also be entertained, should also be looked after, they also should be taught deen of Allah, and presents and gifts should be gifted to them when they are leaving to go back to their homes. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exalted the Sahaba and mentioned the status of the Ansar, that the Ansar have helped me and the deen of Islam, that you should fulfill the rights of the Ansar, because such a time will come where the Ansar in my ummah will be like salt in food. meaning very, very little in number. You know, when a person opens the pot, he can never see the salt, but the salt is there, it adds taste to food. So Rasulullah ﷺ said that if they make any mistakes, the Ansar, then overlook their mistakes as well. Thereafter Rasulullah ﷺ told the Sahaba that after my demise, hold on to two things. Kitabullah wa sunnatu Rasulillah. Hold on to the teachings of Quran, the book of Allah, and hold on to my teachings, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also advised Sahaba that to fulfill the rights of each another. It was Maghrib time. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also advised the Sahaba to fulfill the rights of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he mentioned the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. لَوْ اتَّخَذْتُ أَحَدًا خَلِيلًا لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. That O my Sahaba, that if I had to take anyone as a close friend, then the only person I would have taken as a bosom and close friend is Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But my true and only close friend is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But myself and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we share the bond and the brotherhood of Islam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Anyway, it was Thursday, the next day, 4 days before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised Sahaba father, and he told them that أَخْرِجُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنْ جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ. That O my Sahaba, my advice to you is that expel the Jews, the Christians, and the Mushrikeen, the polytheists from the Arabian Peninsula. In other words, that area roughly between Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara, that area should be dedicated only to the Muslims and only to Islam, and all the non-Muslims should be asked to leave there. Why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew that the Muslims are such, not the Sahaba, but those who come after, that with them mixing too much with the non-Muslims, the Jews, the Christians, the Mushrikeen, this will have a negative influence on some Muslims, and they will slowly start to adopt their lifestyle as well. So Rasulullah ﷺ advised for them to be expelled from the Arabian Peninsula. In a similar way as well, Rasulullah ﷺ, he advised that Unfuz Jaisha Usama, that the army of Usama radiallahu ta'ala, a young Sahabi, was the Amir of the army. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised that this army should be sent out. They should not be held back in Medina Munawwara because of my sickness. It was thereafter Maghrib Salah, the Thursday, 4 days before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could pass away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam managed to perform Maghrib Salah. In Maghrib Salah, Sahaba said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited Wal Mursalati Urfa. And after Maghrib Salah, he went into the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The time of Isha had set in. The fever of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grew very severe. Very severe. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Aisha radiallahu anha, that O Aisha, have the Muslims performed the Isha salah? Aisha radiallahu anha said, no, O Prophet of Allah, they are waiting for you in the masjid. They are waiting for you in the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring the wudu water. He attempted to perform wudu the first time. He fell down unconscious. He regained consciousness. Second time he tried to perform wudu, again he fell unconscious. Third time he tried to perform wudu, again he fell unconscious. Finally Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sahaba that muru Abu Bakrin fal yusalli bin nas. That O my Sahaba, command Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, let him make imamat for the people. Let him lead the people in salah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, Isha salah, Thursday, 4 days before the Prophet of Allah left this world. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum performed the Isha salah. This continued Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Mu'arriqeen, Islamic historians have mentioned that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum performed 17 salah during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present, while Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still sick in the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Anyway, it was Saturday, Dhuhr Salah, 2 days before the Prophet of Allah could pass away. He was feeling slightly better. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wanted to go into the masjid. So the Dhuhr Salah was about to start. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was standing on the musalla about to start salah. the curtain of the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened, he enters the masjid. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sees the Prophet of Allah entering the masjid, coming towards the musalla. He begins to stand back so that the Prophet of Allah can take the musalla. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, stay where you are. He told the sahaba who were helping him that place me on the left of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. In other words, the Prophet of Allah stood next to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the imamat and indicated to Abu Bakr that he should be the mukabbir, meaning he should say the takbirs loudly. Like many times we hear this happening in the Haramain as well. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the salah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was the mukabbir. He said the takbir Allahu Akbar so that the sahaba could, so that the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could be echoed to the sahaba via Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This was Saturday. Then the next day, Sunday, the day before the demise of the Prophet of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for his slaves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam freed all his slaves on that Sunday. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for whatever wealth remained in his house. He only had 7 dinars in his house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the 7 dinars in charity as well. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the weapons which he had. He gave it as a gift to the Muslims. And the armor which he had, actually the armor of the Prophet of Allah was mortgaged as security in the home of a Jew in lieu of 30 sa', about 100 kilograms of barley, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken from a Jew. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had nothing whatsoever in his houses. Aisha radiallahu anha says, on that night, the night before the demise of the Prophet of Allah, there wasn't even any oil in the house of the Prophet of Allah which could be used to light the lantern. Aisha radiallahu anha says, we borrowed oil so that there could be light in the lantern in the house of the greatest of your creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, the last day, Monday morning Fajr Salah. Monday morning Fajr Salah, the day of the demise of the Prophet of Allah, Fajr Salah had commenced. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is standing on the musalla. He is leading the salah. Sahaba are standing in the rows. Now let us understand, those who have been to Masjid Nabawi, we know that the original musalla of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still preserved via a pillar. And on this side is the jari, the green mesh running this way and that way. On the corner, there's a corner pillar there, on the corner of the green mesh. And thereafter, three very famous pillars, Ustuwanatul Wufud, Ustuwanatul Haras, and Ustuwanatul Sarir. Between the corner pillar and the first pillar in the center, the green mesh is running there, Ustuwanatul Wufud. Approximately between the two pillars was the entrance of the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Let us try and picture this. So while Abu Bakr is in salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there wasn't no door per se, there was a curtain at the entrance, a thick curtain at the entrance of the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in salah, he moves the curtain. He moves the curtain and he looks at Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he's the narrator of the hadith. He says that we perceive the Prophet of Allah looking at us. Looking at us. Abu Bakr is here. The Prophet of Allah is looking. Sahaba all standing performing Fajr Salah behind the Prophet of Allah. Abu Bakr, he perceived, he could feel that the Prophet of Allah is looking. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood and he thought to himself, maybe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to come and perform and continue the Fajr Salah. He begins to step back. He begins to step back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicates that no, continue leading the salah. Continue leading the salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. He smiled at Abu Bakr being the imam, sahaba behind Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He smiles and finally he places the curtain down. He places the curtain down. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says, but the qasam of Allah, it was the last time that we ever saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive. The last time we ever saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive. Anyway, after sunrise, few hours before the demise of Allah, or the Prophet of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls for his daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha, the only child of the Prophet of Allah who is still living. Fatima radiallahu anha comes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispers into her ears, she begins to cry. He whispers for a second time. She begins to smile. She's happy. She's ecstatic. Later on, after the demise of the Prophet of Allah, Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet of Allah, asked Fatima, his beloved daughter, that, oh Fatima, what was that laughing and smiling? Fatima radiallahu anha said, the first time when the Prophet of Allah, my father, he whispered into my ears and began to cry. Then he told me that I will not recover from the sickness of mine. This caused me to cry. When he saw that, day after, again he whispered into my ear and he told me, oh Fatima, from all my family members, you are the first one who shall join me the hereafter. As a result of which we know, Fatima radiallahu anha had passed away about 6 months after the demise of the Prophet of Allah. This was a secret relationship, the special relationship which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Anyway, thereafter, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave her the glad tidings, wa Fatimatu sayyidatu nisa'i ahlil jannah, that Fatima radiallahu anha, she shall be the queen of the women of Jannah. Thereafter, the Prophet of Allah called for his wives. He advised them as well to remain in the dhikr of Allah, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, he called for his grandchildren, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and he advised Sahaba that fulfill the rights of these grandchildren of mine and look after them after my demise. We know both these grandsons of the Prophet of Allah, later on both of them had become shaheed. Anyway, thereafter the pain grew so severe, Aisha radiallahu anha says, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that, oh Aisha, I can feel the traces of poison which I ate with the food during the Battle of Khaybar. The Battle of Khaybar, Muharram, the 7th year after Hijrah, more than 4 years ago, the traces of that poison could be felt on the Prophet of Allah at the time of his demise. At the time of his demise, this was how the Prophet of Allah was suffering. Fatima radiallahu anha, she also witnessed this as well. She said, wa karba abta, that what pain my father is going through. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that faqala laysa ala abiki karbun ba'd al-yawm. O Fatima, your father shall not suffer any pain after today. Aisha radiallahu anha says, amongst the favors of Allah upon me was that the Prophet of Allah spent the last week of his life in my house. The Prophet of Allah had passed away in my lap, between my chest and between my neck. And thirdly, Allah Ta'ala allowed my saliva to be mixed with the saliva of the Prophet of Allah at the time of his demise. She says, my brother Abdurrahman bin Abu Bakr, he entered the house. He had a miswak. The Prophet of Allah looked at the miswak. He was so weak, he could not even speak as well. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I understood what he wanted. I asked him, do you want the miswak? He just nodded and gestured, yes. I took the miswak, gave it to the Prophet of Allah. But it was too hard. She sensed this. She said, O Prophet of Allah, must I soften it? He nodded again. She took the miswak, placed it into her mouth. She softened it. Thereafter, gave it to the Prophet of Allah. She said, this was the favor of Allah upon me. Then my saliva mixed with the saliva of the Prophet of Allah just before he left this world. Just before he left this world, the pangs of death grew so severe. I picked him up. His head was leaning against my chest, and thereafter she says that there was a basin of water there. He placed his Mubarak hands into the water and he rubbed it over his face, and thereafter he's giving advice. The final general advises to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, As-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. That, oh my Sahaba, hold on to your salah and fulfill the rights of your slaves. He kept on repeating this till his voice could barely be heard. Ulama explained that in the last advices of the Prophet of Allah, he encapsulated the entire deen. Because deen is based on two main pillars. Hukukullah, the rights of Allah. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning salah, which is the most important of all the rights of Allah. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indicating that a person should fulfill hukukullah, the rights of Allah. Salah, zakat, fasting, hajj, etc. And by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicating towards Sahaba, وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, fulfill the rights of your slaves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicating regarding hukukul ibad, the rights of the other, of fellow human beings. Why? During those times especially, a slave was regarded to be at the mercy of his master. So a person who is fulfilling the rights of his slave, then he will definitely fulfill the rights of all those above the slave, all other subordinates of his wife, his children, his parents, his employees, etc. Thereafter, Aisha radiallahu anha says, I could see the lips of the Prophet of Allah moving. I could not hear what he is saying. I placed my ear closer to the mouth of the Prophet of Allah, and I hear him say these words, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti sakarat. That La ilaha illallah, there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. And definitely there is pangs, there is pain in the pangs of death. And I heard him saying these words, Ma'an nabiyyin, was-siddiqin, was-shuhada, was-salihin. That, O Allah, place me amongst the prophets, place me amongst the truthful. O Allah, join me with the martyrs and the pious servants of Allah. Allahumma ghfirli warhamni. That, O Allah, you forgive me. O Allah, you show mercy upon me. Wa alhiqni bir-rafiqil ala. That, O Allah, O Allah, I beg you to join me and place me in your companionship under your care. And thereafter the Prophet of Allah breathed his last, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It was Monday, the 12th of Rabiul Awal, mid-morning, the 11th year after Hijrah. Ay Fatima radiallahu anha, she cries and she sings this poem, Ya Abta, Ajaba Rabban Da'a, Ya Abta, Jannatul Firdausi Ma'wa, Ya Abta, Ila Jibreel Nan'a, O my beloved father, you have answered the calling of your Rabb. O my beloved father, Jannatul Firdaus is your eternal abode. O my beloved father, we convey the news of your death to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that ma ra'aytu yawman qattu kana ahsana wala awda'a min yawmin dakhala alayna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was amongst the residents of Medina Munawwara, a young boy of 10 years old, when the Prophet of Allah came to Medina Munawwara. He says, by the qasam of Allah, I did not see any day, neither did the people of Medina witness any day more beautiful and more illuminating than the day that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Medina Munawwara. وَمَا رَأَيْتُ يَوْمًا كَانَ أَقْبَحَ وَلَا أَظْلَمَ مِنْ يَوْمٍ مَاتَ فِيهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And by the qasam of Allah, we did not witness any day worst and more sad than that day in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this dunya. Respected elders and brothers, we can well imagine what Sahaba had went through at the time of the demise of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One lesson we can take from this as well, whenever a person is placed in any hardship, any difficulty, any sadness whatsoever, he should ponder that what Sahaba must have went through at the time of the demise of the Prophet of Allah, and this will become a means of cushioning the blow and the difficulty which a person himself may be going through. We make dua to Allah that Allah Ta'ala blesses us with the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.